Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today, I want to talk about the famous or infamous bull shark. Many stories rank around the bull sharks, their seemingly aggressiveness, their dangerousness, and so on. It's mind-boggling what you can read on shark websites when it comes to these animals. Bull sharks, well, there's a lot of bull out there. Not just what you can get from the general public, but also from scientists. Yep, even those folks are often more than just misguided. You may ask, how come that a shark scientist can be wrong when it comes to bull sharks? Well, the answer is easy. Hardly any of my colleagues is a field biologist that hangs out with these animals in their natural habitats. But it is crucial, it's a crucial element, should you want to be able to describe the true behavior of these animals correctly. And it's not just logging a few dives with sharks, but hundreds of them, and then not just watch them, but actually trigger reactions in them by actively seeking an interaction. But who would question a shark scientist who said that he dived with sharks, right? We would just take it for face value. Anyway, there are several aspects about bull sharks that are constantly wrong. That ranges from their highest concentration of testosterone among all shark species, so seemingly being the most aggressive sharks of them all, and on and on. Of course, whenever people talk about bull sharks, they keep mentioning how dangerous they are, and of course, testosterone, that makes them the most aggressive, underlines their point. So what is it with this testosterone concentration? Yes, it exists, but there is always a but, right? The concentration increases during or prior through their mating season and then falls back to lower concentrations after it's over. The scientific work says that the concentration increases sevenfold. Maybe so, maybe not. What I mean is that they only took very few males and then assumed that it goes for all of them. So the increase may be exaggerated. But let's just assume that these males really get such a boost of testosterone. So what? It's not that they then release their hormonal imbalance on unsuspecting swimmers or divers, but that is exactly what is implied when talking about the increase of testosterone in connection to bull sharks. Would that really be the case? Really, would that really be the case? That bull sharks will bite more people during their mating seasons? Well, you would have seen it by now. But year after year, you don't see an increase in bull shark bites. So testosterone cannot lead to more bites. Or at least when diving with them, realizing something is quote-unquote off, and we have them more in our faces, that would be a sign, or could be a sign, of increased testosterone levels, right? But even that cannot be said. So does that mean we can ignore the increase of testosterone? Well, there's the possibility that it has some effects, but likely not when it comes to the interactions with humans during that period. But you know what? What could be possible? That the young males that turn mature get a testosterone boost for the first time and then just overreact in some situations, but since they're all still not the dominant animals at the site, we still don't know, because you and I and everybody else keep watching the largest animal for shark species and not the smaller ones if the larger buggers are around as well. So you may have 10 large bull sharks and one little guy, and the little guy is completely off, but you wouldn't notice because you're watching the big guys. So my answer to testosterone may not be what you expect, but after so many years of hanging out with bull sharks on and off during their mating season, it gives me a certain feeling for them. Okay, now how about them being the most aggressive species, which of course, due to the testosterone, that would be a logical conclusion. People who took some of my classes or came to some of my talks already know what I think about an aggressive shark. I think it doesn't exist. It's a fabrication of a fearful mind. Why is that? First of all, what is aggression? How can we define it? Well, Webster says, hostile or violent behavior attitudes towards another. Readiness to attack or confront, the action of an act of attacking without provocation, and forceful and sometimes overly assertive pursuit of one's aims and interests. So what we hear is basically that you're going to have a shark in your face without having done anything wrong, right? Well, that's just that. Although people may think they have a bull shark in their face, what really happens is the shark just gets a little bit too close. I've said it many times before. People who dived with one of the same species over and over are the ones that then seem to see aggressive sharks. The reason is that they get used to a certain species and how these sharks approach, how close they come, how they react in a certain circumstance, and so on. So they interact now with a bull shark for the first time, and those buggers have one thing in common. They have a much smaller inner circle. Does come naturally closer than many of the other coastal species. So the shark oversteps the distance a diver is used to, and this raises an alarm. And voila, an aggressive shark is born. To give you an idea, we measured the average distance of inner circles for Caribbean reef sharks and bull sharks. And the one for Caribbean reef sharks was 1.8 body length, and the one for bulls was 1.2 body length. 1.2 body length is quite close. Nothing to worry about. But one is not, if you're not used to it, it's pretty damn close, considering we have an animal that can easily reach over 10 feet or 3 meters. I think the largest bull shark ever caught reached close to 4 meters. Huge, right? And if that thing is that close, well, I can imagine that you get a little scared. Then, of course, there are the lowered pectoral fins that you like to see because the animal must increase maneuverability when close by, and on and on. Lower pectoral fins, we talked about this. This is really another feature that is often, or pretty much all the time, misinterpreted. It's not a threat display. Anyway, so a bull shark does not have it easy to come across non-threatening, right? Because its size and everything. Anyway, aggression in bull sharks does not really exist. I mean, really, it does not exist. It's merely a person's somewhat warped idea of what they see and how they interpret them. So let's talk about their ability to live in freshwater. This is really something that I think it's incredible. It's very intriguing, since there are not many shark species who can live in rivers or lakes. If you believe literature, well, in this case, I think it's accurate, bull sharks have been found more than 3,000 kilometers up the Amazon River, or 2,000 kilometers up the Mississippi. That would be up to Illinois. That is incredible. Although most juvenile sharks of most species giving birth in shallow waters have the ability to at least swim into fresh water for a short period of time, or most likely again hang out in brackish water all the time, most lose this ability once they reach adulthood. So here's a shark that reaches a rather large size, which is tremendous by power, that can easily penetrate fresh water and orient itself in the murkiest water there is. Well, and you have a perfect scary image. But you know, beside all this hype, there is something that really intrigues me. And being among these buggers, they seem easily bored. I know this sounds weird. How can I say that the shark is interested in us or bored with us? I can't give you a proper answer. It's just a feeling I have when being among them. They are very curious right from the get-go. And you just stay put at one spot. They may come back and check you out a few times. Always swimming the same pattern. Remember, cognitive mapping. Well, then all of a sudden, they don't give you the time of the day anymore. Just move to someone else and start doing the same thing until this diver as well is being ignored and so on. Bull sharks are a very interesting species. Unfortunately, as with white sharks and tiger sharks, too many erroneous information flood the internet, and unfortunately even some of my colleagues help to muddy that picture. I remember an incident when a bull shark took the life of a person that one of my colleagues was quoted in a news magazine and said that once a bull shark starts to bite a person, it hardly stops before the person is killed. That is rubbish. What an idiot. And even more disturbing, that he is seemingly a shark expert. Some expert, right? There should be a law that you're not allowed to badmouth animals that couldn't defend themselves. And if you do, yeah, you should be held responsible. Really, that would be the greatest thing when it comes to sharks. But then again, it's not rare that some of the shark scientists make truly stupid remarks when it comes to these animals. Again, why, you ask? Be- because they as well are afraid of sharks and won't swim with them, but are never shy to let the total crappy view known, should journalists contact them. I could go on here quite a while, but I rather don't. Maybe in another show of Let's Talk Shark. Anyway, guys, that's it for today. Tune in again for another show. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, especially a bull shark, remember what I just said. Have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.